Jed Hoyer is on the line, and he joins us each week here on WGN. We didn't have a show last week, so we didn't get to talk to him because of games. And he joins us now. He's down at St. Louis, where the Cubs will play their final series of the season. And then this year will come to an end. Jed, thanks for taking time. How you doing tonight?
Doing well, Cap. How you doing?
Doing good. What's your favorite kind of cookie?
Oatmeal chocolate chip.
See, yeah, that's like oatmeal chocolate chips, what they have at Potbellies.
Right. You can bring the oatmeal back with a chocolate chip addition. That's a great point by Jed, and you would think that Jed would come up with a great point. But you can't. Oatmeal by itself is just a loser.
Yeah, oatmeal raisin.
No question. And there's nothing more depressing in the world than grabbing one and thinking it has chocolate chips and it has raisins.
That's the worst.
Nothing worse.
Nothing worse. All right, let's get started. I have questions aplenty for you. Number one, Theo met with the media in Milwaukee, I don't know, 10, 12 days ago, and then he talked to Chicago media again last week at Wrigley and talked about a variety of topics, one of them being your manager, and he said, look, we're going through an evaluation process. What is your take on the comments and the how things have been perceived maybe around town?
Yeah, well, you know, I think one thing we've really tried to do since we got here is just to be honest and be transparent and, you know, try to answer questions, you know, as they're posed to us. And you know, Theo is being honest that, you know, we feel really good about the direction of the organization. We feel really good about a lot of things that have happened this year. But, you know, there's some things at the major league level that have been frustrating. And, you know, in a lot of years, that's the case. But this year, you know, probably slightly more than most, you know, there's, you know, some players and some things that haven't, you know, really lived up to expectations. And, you know, we spent, you know, the last couple of weeks and really, you know, even longer than that, you know, trying to evaluate and get to the bottom of why that happened. And, you know, nothing's changed since he made those topics. We're still, you know, working hard at that and having meetings and, you know, spending time evaluating. So, you know, in some ways, you know, the hard part of his comments was it sort of left a vacuum over the last couple of weeks and, you know, when people can make a lot of comments. But, you know, really it is true. Every year you go through evaluation, and this year it's, you know, probably more important than most because, you know, some things have been disappointing that we need to address.
When you hear Javi Baez say, yeah, you guys have come out and said, look, he's not going to go to the Fall League now, and I don't think he really wanted to, that disappoint you? Or, no, he's going to work with our staff. It's probably better for him. What's your take there?
No, we understood completely. You know, we had conversations with him along the way, and you know, I think he probably bit off more than he could chew when he decided to go originally. I think, you know, as he got home and realized how long a season had been, you know, he worked really hard in spring training trying to make the club, had a full minor league season, had the playoffs, and I think he felt like the right thing to do for his body and for next season is to, you know, to get in great shape and, you know, hit in Arizona, but, you know, not have the Fall League. You know, we would have been disappointed if he hadn't played a full season, but because he played the full year and played as well as he did, you know, we're totally supportive of that decision, and, you know, we look forward to seeing him in Arizona and, you know, seeing him, you know, working on his hitting.
Jed, would it be a major disappointment if Jake Arrieta is not part of the rotation next year?
It would be surprising. Yeah, the way he's pitched, I think what we're going to plan on him being in the rotation next year to start the season. You know, you never know what happens over the course of an off season, but that's certainly, you know, standing here today, that's our thought, and that was really our thought all along when we got him was, you know, let him get comfortable in the organization, you know, go to the minor leagues for a little bit, and then show us what he could do. And I really think the last two times out, it looks to me like he's a little more under control, kind of throttling things back a little bit. And, you know, as long as he throws strikes, he's going to be a very effective pitcher. You know, stuff is fantastic. There's not a lot of guys in the game that throw, you know, mid-90s that easily and have the ability to spin the ball. And I think he's shown Cubs fans what he can do. I just think he has to work on his consistency and, you know, hopefully the last two starts this year give him a nice springboard into the offseason and into next year.
You talked about Arrieta. I look at Chris Russell and not sure. There are times he throws and I think, boy, that guy has surprised me. And then there are times like the other night he just doesn't have it. Would you say you're going into the offseason and you know four of your five starters or no, not necessarily. We could sign a guy that we don't expect to, or we could make a trade. Is that probably fair?
Yeah, I think we're likely to, you know, to be looking at free agency, you know, for starting pitchers over the course of the winter. So, yeah, I think we'll add pitching. You know, we have been, you know, fortunate. We haven't had a lot of injuries in the rotation. I mean, we've traded guys away, which is why we've had to use our depth, but we haven't had injuries. And, you know, we need to do everything we can to prepare, you know, for the years when you're going to have a lot of injuries and go through a lot of starters. So, you know, almost every season, every team is looking for starting pitching over the winter, and for us, we'll be doing that. And, you know, as far as Chris goes, you know, he's a very talented left-hander. I think, you know, consistency is, you know, the name of the game for him, too. You know, when he has command, you know, he gets guys out. I think that, you know, he's had some starts when he did that, and he's, you know, been able to show people, you know, what he can do in the big leagues, which is impressive. But, you know, he's got to get more consistent. But, you know, that's the nature of most young pitchers. And I've just been really happy he's had some excellent outings. I think that'll also give him confidence going into the offseason as well, and knowing he can pitch at this level.
You think it's likely that Darwin Barney will have to win a job next spring? Or, I mean, obviously he didn't have the year at the plate that he wanted to have.
Yeah, you know, it's much too early to say that. You know, I think Darwin, you know, he's shown the ability to hit, you know, 270, 280 in the big leagues, you know, when he first got here. And, you know, he knows he needs to get back to that approach, you know, being a really pesky hitter. I think the kind of hitter he can be is, you know, you can be a pain in the butt at the plate, you know, fouling balls off and, you know, hitting line drives all over the field. You know, he's never going to have a lot of power. I think this year he probably got caught up looking to slug the ball a little bit too much, and, you know, that's not really his game, and he's gotten away from that recently. I think what he does defensively is fantastic. I think he's the best second baseman in the game, and, you know, obviously he's a great guy in the clubhouse. He's a terrific person. So, if he adds a lot, and I think if, you know, if he can get back to where he was offensively, he's a really valuable player because the defense is so special.
You guys have lost more home games this year than I think any team in Cubs history. What do you have to do? I know you got to get a better team, and you're trying to build to that, but how can it be so tough to win at our ballpark?
Well, you know, that's it's a great question, something that we have to answer. You're not going to be successful unless you're winning 50 home games instead of losing 50. And, you know, I think the Cubs have won 50 the fewest times of any team that's been around for a long time. So, you know, it's a riddle that we have to solve. We have to figure out how we can, you know, go, you know, win 50 plus games at home every year. Because if you do that and you roughly break even on the road, you're in decent shape. And, you know, there are challenges. You know, you have a lot of different start times. And I think that is a challenge. But, you know, it's one you have to overcome. You know, I think that every team has, you know, unique circumstances with their ballpark for the most part. And, you know, we do as well with the day games and the start times. And we have to master that. We have to figure out what the right approach is. And we obviously haven't figured that part out yet. We need to get to the bottom of that and make sure that the Wrigley Field, the home field advantage, because, you know, every team needs to win 50-plus at home to be successful. We haven't done that yet.
You also had to watch, you and Theo, teams clinching on your field. Now, in Arizona, they got upset. They didn't want the Diamondbacks didn't want the Dodgers celebrating on their field. They ended up jumping in their pool. Do you guys say, hey, we don't want people celebrating here? Or, no, we just have to play better and not let them celebrate here?
Yeah, I feel the latter for me. I don't understand a team getting upset with another team celebrating on their field. You know, if that's how you feel, then you need to be better and you need to win. And, you know, in some ways, I always look at it like, I try to watch those celebrations, and, you know, it gives you motivation for the off season. It, you know, helps you remember, you know, why you do this, because when you are out there celebrating on the field, it's, you know, it's the greatest feeling in the world. So, you know, in some ways it's good motivation, and I don't understand why a team would get upset. You know, if you're going to be that upset, then, you know, you just got to play better and win.
Do you like the playoff format? Because I think to play 162 games, a lot of them in high-leverage situations, if you're Cleveland or Texas or Tampa, the Reds, the Pirates, and you play one game and you run into a hot pitcher, you could put the Cubs or the Astros in the playoffs and the right guy throws the right game and the other team goes home. I think it's awful. It's got to be a best of three at least.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's not my favorite format. And I think the reason – I understand why it's put in place, you know, kind of – create as many elimination games as possible. But, you know, listen, you know, at some point in every season, you know, baseball probably does come down to one game, and that's the beauty of it. But, you know, the reason we play for 6 months every single day is because it is a game that has some luck involved. It is a game that takes a long time to really have the cream rise to the top. And, you know, the best teams usually do rise to the top, but they do it over 6 months. And, you know, in reality, best of seven even is probably too short a format for baseball, but it's what we have. But to play one game, to play all season, to play one game doesn't seem right. And, you know, the other thing that's hard is that, you know, you can have a situation where the wild card teams may even be better than the division winner of another division. And I think that's difficult to have, you know, a really good wild card team that happens to be stuck in the wrong division play all summer just to have that one game playoff where anything can happen. So I hope we go to 2 out of 3 at some point. I think that's probably the right solution to this. You know, right now it's what we have, and hopefully we're playing in this situation, you know, soon. But 2 out of 3, I think, is the right format if you're going to have 2 wild cards.
All right, last two I have for you. Carlos Gomez, Brian McCann get into it last night. I loved what Brian McCann did. Wish he was catching for the Cubs. I like that edge, that toughness. What was your take on what happened?
I like any kind of emotion like that. I kind of have thoughts on both sides. You know, I loved what the way McCann was standing up for his teammates, and, you know, wasn't going to let him cross the plate. I think he showed a lot of emotion in the pennant race. You know, I also think it's really hard. You know, one of the things we were talking about this morning in the office is, you know, during the WBC, when guys are watching home runs and having a blast playing baseball, they say, you know, look at how much these guys love the game. And then, you know, you do that, you do that during the season, and people say you're showing someone up. So I don't know. I think that, you know, within reason, I think guys should be able to, you know, enjoy their home runs or do certain things, and people probably shouldn't be quite as worried about, you know, being shown up. You know, a lot of guys in this game watch home runs or, you know, enjoy themselves, and every time you enjoy yourself in baseball, I don't think you're showing up the opponent. So I think on both sides, it was an interesting play. It certainly wasn't something you want. You don't want to have brawls, and, you know, I thought Gomez had a really nice apology on Twitter. But I think on both sides, there's interesting takes, you know, as far as that fight.
Get him out the next time he comes up. Scream at him if you want. You got to let him touch the plate. I get Brian McCann's side, but you know what? Just get him out. That's all.
Yeah. No, and that's one of the hardest things is that, you know, within reason, you can't show up the opponent too much. But, you know, I also think that, you know, he killed that ball, and I think he was enjoying himself. And, you know, there is some history there with the two guys, and I think that was probably something that added to the emotion for Gomez. I think Mahal had hit him a few times, so there was some history there, and that probably added to the emotion of Gomez when he hit the home run.
As we let you go, you said, you gave your thoughts on Theo's comments, and Theo said it's an ongoing process. Do you make decisions on whatever it is, whether it's Dale, a player, an arbitration? Do you make those decisions pretty quickly at the end of the season, or no, this could go a couple more weeks?
You know, I don't think we know exactly when the decision will be made. Certainly the couple weeks won't happen. I think we owe it to everyone to make a decision, and sometimes, you know, you need to put a time frame on it to come to the right decision and to finish that thought process. But, you know, we're not going to let things drag out. I think that'd be the wrong thing for everyone involved. And, like I said, we still are having a lot of discussions. We're still having a lot of meetings here in St. Louis. And, you know, it's on all of us. Really, the evaluation is on the coaching staff, and it's also on the people that put the team together. And, you know, we all want to sit down and figure out how to win here in Chicago. And we haven't done that yet. I think we're proud of a lot of the progress we've made, but we haven't won yet. And until we win, I think we owe it to everyone to really turn the microscope on everyone and say, what can we do better?
Jed, appreciate the time. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Take care.